ஓம் பத்ரம் கர்ணே விஷ்ணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டு வாகும்ஸஸ்தனுபிஹி வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நைந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஶ்வவேதாஃ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. When we chant the Shanti Mantra, it is really do it with Shraddha, because Shanti Pataha is words of Bhagavan, words of the Veda Shastram, and presenting a beautiful, intense, fervent, very, very necessary prayer. Okay, so now we are seeing, let us not forget, we are seeing the first section of the second Mundaka, where Upanishad presents the Srishtihi, creation. From the first verse onwards until this verse, we mean seeing only Srishti. The creation is being discussed. And the first verse, Upanishad presented Swarup, the Tatastha Lakshanam. The second verse, Upanishad presented Swarupa Lakshanam. Then again, elaborates the Tatastha Lakshanam. How everything has come from Bhagavan, this Paramatma. Now you all must remember, Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, Paramatma is another than the absolute reality. Brahman endowed with the power. The power known as Maya. The power of reality, unmanifest is Maya, manifest is this universe. Unmanifest is known as ignorance, manifest is knowledge. I'm repeating every class so that you will remember this. Then, let us read the mantras once, so you will know the continuity of all the mantras, how the Srishti begins from this first verse, first mantra. Dvitiya Mundake Prathamaha Kandaha, the first section in the second chapter. Tadetat Satyam யதா சுதீப்தாத் பாவகாத் விஸ்புலிங்காஹ சஹஸ்ரஷஃ ப்ரபவந்தே ஸரூபாஹ ததாக்ஷராத் விவிதா ஸோம்யபாவாஹ ப்ரஜாயந்தே தத்ர சைவாபி யந்தி திவ்யோ ஹ்யமூர்த்தஃ புருஷஃ ஸபாஹ்யாபியந்தரோ ஹ்யஜஃ அப்ராணோ ஹ்யமனா சுப்ரஹ ஹி ஹ்யக்ஷராத் பரதஃ பரஹ ஏதஸ்மாத் ஜாயதே ப்ராணஹ மனஸ் சர்வேந்திரியாணி ச ஏதஸ்மாத் ஜாயதே ப்ராணோ மனஸ் சர்வேந்திரியாணி ச கம் வாயு ஜ்யோதிராபஃ பிருத்திவி விஸ்வஸ்ய தாரிணி அக்னிர்மூர்த்தா சக்ஷுஷி சந்திர சூர்யோ திஷஸ்ரோத்ரே வாக்விவ்ருதாஶ்ச வேதாஹ வாயுஃ ப்ராணோ ஹ்ருதயம் விஶ்வமஸ்ய பத்யாம் ப்ருதிவீ ஹ்யேஷ ஸர்வபூதாந்தராத்மா தஸ்மாதக்னிஸ் ஸமிதோ யஸ்ய சூர்யஃ சோமாத் பர்ஜன்ய ஓஷதயஃ ப்ருத்திவ்யாம் புமான் ரேதஸ் சிஞ்சதி யோஷிதாயாம் பஹ்வீஃ ப்ரஜாஃ புருஷாத் ஸம்ப்ரஸூதாஃ தஸ்மாத் ருசஃ சாமய ஜூகும்ஷி தீக்ஷாஃ யஜ்ஞாஶ்ச ஸர்வே க்ரதவோ தக்ஷிணாஶ்ச ஸம்வத்ஸரஶ்ச யஜமானஶ்ச லோகாஃ சோமோ யத்ர பவதே யத்ர சூர்யஃ. தஸ்மாச்ச தேவா பஹுதா ஸம்ப்ரஸூதாஃ சாத்யா மனுஷ்யா பஶவோ வயாம்ஸி ப்ராணாபானௌ வ்ரீஹ்யவௌ தபஶ்ச ஸ்ரத்தா சத்யம் ப்ரஹ்மச்சர்யம் விதிஶ்ச. We saw how everything has come from Bhagavan, Paramatma. All the Vedas came, all the human beings came, animals came, birds came, And even celestial beings came, celestial beings of different categories have come. And all the disciplines have come, tapascha, shraddha, satyam, truthfulness, even this morality and all the food, all forms of food in terms of paddy, barley, etc. All the rules pertaining to the performance of rituals, etc. Everything has come from Bhagavan. Now we have to see this 8th mantra. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. This is today's class. This is mantra we are going to see today. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti pranaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti pranaha. Guhashayanihita sapta sapta. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti pranaha. Guhashayanihita sapta sapta. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti pranaha. Guhashayanihita sapta sapta. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti pranaha. Guhashayanihita sapta sapta. Okay. As I said yesterday, in this mantra, Bhagavan, the Upanishad presents the perception itself as a yajna, and which is all of them have come from Bhagavan. It means Bhagavan has blessed all the animals, every animal in this universe, every living being in this universe, especially animals, and the human beings, because human beings also form part of the animals. All of them, 5 sense organs. Pancha jnana indriyani. Okay. And not only pancha jnana indriyani, Bhagavan has blessed all these living beings with the 5 sense organs, instruments of knowledge, and also the respective sense objects. The respective sense objects perceptible through those 5 sense organs. And when these beings, through these sense organs, come in contact with this external world, that is world of 5-fold objects, and when they have interaction through the sense organs with the world of 5-fold objects, then what happens? The knowledge of 5-fold objects also happens. Therefore, jnanam. The 5-fold, the knowledge of 5-fold objects happening through the perception, through the interaction, contact with those objects through sense organs. Also what now? Knowledge of 5-fold objects. Knowledge of 5-fold objects. 5-fold sense objects and 5-fold sense organs. All of them have come from Bhagavan only. Okay. Therefore, instruments of knowledge, sense organs, the respective sense objects, 5-fold objects. Then, and the knowledge of those objects happening through the contact of sense organs with their sense objects. And there's also enjoyment of those objects. Enjoyment of those objects. See, you cannot enjoy an object which you do not know. So you have to know, you must perceive. Okay, there are objects of perception, there are instruments of perception. Through them, you know the objects, then you enjoy those objects. So enjoyment of objects. Therefore, there are varieties of enjoyments of objects also. All of them are what? Bhagavan's. All of them have come into existence from Bhagavan. And here, our instruments of knowledge, otherwise known as sense organs, jnana indriyani, are involved in twofold functions. Sense organs are involved in twofold functions. Okay. What are they? How we can say? The sense organs, the instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge, known as jnanendriyani, are instruments of knowledge from the standpoint of pramata. Pramata means the knower. Okay, there's a knower experiencer. And here this Bhagavan alone is there as the knower experiencer also. And the knower technically is called pramata. So the pramata, the knower, from the standpoint of the knower, the instruments of perception are known as jnanendriyani. And the same knower also enjoys another qualification of being an enjoyer. The knower, the subject of knowledge, knower, known as pramata, also known as bhokta. Bhokta means what? Enjoyer. Therefore, the bhokta and pramata, the knower, the enjoyer and the knower, okay? Pramata, knower, bhokta, enjoyer. They both are the only subject has two qualifications of being the knower and being the enjoyer. And from the standpoint, as the knower, sense organs are said to be jnanendriyani. From the standpoint of a bhokta, then sense organs are known as bhoga indriyani. Jnana indriyani, bhoga indriyani. Instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge, instruments of enjoyment. Bhoga indriyani means instruments of enjoyment. So the five sense powers, okay, have two functions. They serve as instruments of knowledge. They serve as instruments of enjoyment. From the standpoint of pramata and bhokta. Okay. Now, these sense organs are amazingly powerful sense organs. And they are created. They have been brought into existence by Bhagavan. Also, when they come, they also experiences pertaining to those objects are also possible. So all have come into existence. Okay, this mantra says sense organs, sense objects, knower, enjoyer, so as instruments of enjoyment, as instruments of knowledge, all of them are here. And also the respective experiences pertaining to those sense objects are also born out of the Paramatma. This is for the meaning. Okay, now all these five instruments of knowledge are instruments of enjoyment. Okay, we give two different qualifications. From the standpoint of Pramata and Bhokta. And we also, there are various experiences also, sensory experiences. Okay, all of them here, the sense organs and the perceptions, all these are beautifully presented here. Okay, presented here imaginatively. In the sense, there's an imagery also is given. the instruments of knowledge and enjoyment, coming in contact with their respective sense objects, and the experiences based on those interaction, all these are beautifully presented as an imagery. Imagery means what? Arupena. Atra dattaha asti. The vishayaha dattaha asti. The most thing is, the teaching is given in the form of an imagery, kalpana. See, even though sense organs are only five, Upanishad states that there are seven instruments. Why? Because there are seven golakas. So Upanishad, what does it say? Sapta pranaha. Look at the first word. Sapta pranaha. Sapta pranaha. Here, the word pra, please be very careful. In this mantra, in Mundakopanishad, many words are given in different meanings. The word pranaha has many meanings. Okay. Even though pranaha literally means any physiological function is called pranaha. Oxygen is called pranaha. The pranavayu. Inhalation is called pranaha. Sometimes exhalation is called pranaha. The function of respiration is called prana. So the prana, the word meaning of the word prana must be understood correctly in the given context. And in fact, the word pranaha, okay, the word pranaha has mukhyartha and gaunartha. Okay, it has two meanings. So primarily it is called physiological function, but the word, secondarily, the word prana also means sometimes the sense organ. Okay. The word pranaha in this Upanishad, in this particular mantra, means sense organ. Sapta pranaha means sapta indriyani. Again, we have doubt. Only five sense organs. Why seven? Why the Upanishad says number seven? Because we have two ears and two eyes. So, in fact, we have nostrils also, two nostrils. Therefore, even though if we take, calculate them, if we take one extra eye and one extra ear, so seven. Two eyes and two ears are counted here as number seven totally. Therefore, we have seven openings. There are seven openings. Seven openings means seven. Why we call these pranas openings? Because through these seven openings alone, external world of objects, the worldly objects enter into our mind only through the sense organs. Because we have the knowledge of what is external to the body, mind, sense complex through these sense organs only. Therefore, these sense organs are the five in number. We count, we take two, one eye and one ear as number two, extra two. So we say seven. And these seven are said to be seven holes, seven apertures, seven entrances through which the objects enter into our mind. Therefore, there are seven, the seven openings, seven apertures, seven entrances in terms of seven sense organs are known as Sapta Pranaha. Okay, Sapta Pranaha actually mean five sense organs. Now, and here we have to remember the Jihwa or Rasana means tongue. The tongue involves in two functions. Okay. The tongue, of course, helps in knowing the taste. The power of taste is in the tongue. The tasting is possible because of the tongue, because taste buds are in the tongue. But, and the tongue also, in order to feel the taste, it has to touch also. Because therefore, tongue stands for both mainly for taste and also for touch. Now the skin is the main instrument of touch. Skin is the golakam where we have power, the subtle power of sense of touch. But tongue also, even though mainly tongue is for taste, tongue also is for touch. Okay? Tongue stands for both the power of touch, and power of mainly for power of taste and power of touch also. So, each and every sense power obtaining in its respective golakam has its own unique power of knowledge, power of sensing, power of perceiving, power of perception. I mean, each golakam is endowed with its own respective sense power, the power of perception, power of knowledge. And so the subtle powers obtaining within the golakams are known as indriyani, and the physical parts are known as golakani. We have seven golakas. Therefore, we say seven pranaha. Otherwise, five sense organs only. Okay. Now, all these subtle the sense powers obtaining within the gross physical parts known as golakams form part of the sukshma shariram, subtle body. Why? Because they're all imperceptible. You perceive the world of objects through subtle sense powers, but the sense powers themselves are invisible. Therefore, they form part of the subtle body. Now, there are seven, as I already said, there are seven golakams. Golakam is a physical part which is a location, which is the locus of the subtle sense power. The physical part forming, which belongs to the physical body, serves as the locus of subtle invisible sense power, is known as golakam. Therefore, we have this. So the sapta pranaha implies, so the sapta golakani, sapta indriyani. Now, sapta vishayaha means what? The five sense objects perceived through five sense organs, you know, obtaining in five golakams, contribute for the rising of knowledge of fivefold objects. Therefore, now we have to, even though five, let us understand this way. There are sapta indriyani, sapta golakani, sapta indriya vishayaha. Sapta indriya vishayaha mean objects of knowledge. Now, this sense organs coming in contact with the sense objects, the perception is presented in the form of an imagery. Okay, now let us understand. All the golakani, the physical parts, the locuses of the sense powers are likened to the Agni Kundani. You know Agni Kundam? How many of you do not have an idea of Agni Kundam? Most of you must. Agni Kundam is a fireplace. The Agni Kunda where the fire is kindled, it's called Agni Kunda. I'm sure all of you know, definitely all of you know. I think even Matthew and Tristan must have seen the temples, and Sartaka has it seen in Hum temple in Germany. Definitely you all know. Okay. And you would have seen in Coimbatore also when you came to Coimbatore or Manjakudinal, you must have seen. A gold medalist also knows very well. Others must be knowing. Agni Kundani. So the Sapta Golakani, the physical parts where subtle powers are obtaining, they are likened to Sapta Agni Kundani. Okay. Or Agni Kundaha. Okay. Then, now, with the help of these Agni Kundas alone, what now? Rituals have to be performed. Which means, yajnas, the rituals are happening through this Agni Kundas, with the help of this Agni Kundas, which means the seven the Sapta Indriyani, which means the Pancha Indriyani, otherwise the Sapta Indriyani, are the flames. So now we can understand seven, we should imagine now, so there are seven homakunda, seven golakams are taken as seven homakundaha. If we in, whenever the rituals are performed, okay, even in big yajnashalas, when a big rituals are performed, usually they have seven homakundas. And then in each and every homakunda, fire must be kindled. And here, the Indriyani, these five sense powers obtaining in the Golakas are looked upon as seven forms of fire. Means Agnayaha, Sapta Agnayaha, Sapta Indriya, Sapta Golakani or Sapta Homakundani, Sapta Indriyani or Sapta Sapta Agnayaha, okay? The seven forms of fire. Seven forms of fire. You can say seven fires in seven Agni Kundas. Indriyani, the powers are looked upon, likened to the fires. Now, and what is the fire capable of? The fire is capable of lighting up. The fire is capable of burning, you know, but the fire, we have to see other, fire has two things. Fire can burn, fire can illumine also, because fire is a source of light. So fire as a source of light is capable of illumining the objects, opaque things. Similarly, these send the fires in terms of sense organs are also capable of illumining the objects. Therefore, now we can say these five sense organs, otherwise taken seven fires, are the lights. Okay, the fires. And we have the sense, seven sense objects now. Those seven sense objects should be taken as the oblations, because we have to, when during the performance of ritual, we offer oblation pour oblation into the fire. Is it? Similarly, ahutis are offered into the fire. Similarly, in this ritual also, for these fires obtaining within this Agni Kundas of Golakas, in terms of sense powers, oblations are what? Objects. Okay, the sense objects become the oblations. The offerings. We offer ghee, we offer so many other things the people put into this Agni. And those objects, the external five, the world of fivefold objects becomes what? The fivefold. Okay, we can say seven oblations. Ahutayaha. They become the oblations. So what happens now? Each and every sense organ will have food, respective food. The seeing power in the eye will have forms, colors, lights and shapes as its food. Oblation. And this all forms of music, nice classical music, Western music, Eastern music, all words, sometimes very nice Shastra's words, some rubbish words, everything becomes food for the ears. Okay, the food for tongue, food eaten becomes the food for the tongue. The sounds heard become the food for ears. The forms and lights seen become food for the eyes. The heat and cold become the food for the touch. Like this, all this, what are those objects? Shabdaha, sound. Sparshaha, touch. Rupani, rupam, form. Form in plus, in light, everything. Rasaha, taste. Gandhaha, smell. So shabdasparsha roopa rasa gandhaha are the five sense objects become fivefold oblations. Now we should take them as seven, okay? They become seven oblations. Seven oblations are poured into the seven sense objects, are poured into seven oblations, poured into the seven fires in terms of sense organs, obtaining within seven agnikundas known as seven golakas. Okay, now when they are offered, when these sevenfold oblations in terms of sevenfold objects of perception are perceived as if they're poured into the sense organs, then what happened? The ritual happens. It's called what? This perception of sense objects through sense powers is what? Like the ritual, fire ritual. It's a ritual now. So perception is the performance of a fire ritual. And all these functions, okay, perceptions are happening. All these fire rituals, all these rituals in terms of perceptions are happening solely because of Bhagavan. They all have come into existence from Bhagavan. Now, if you see the mantra, you can see, understand. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat, tasmat, from that Bhagavan alone, from that Brahman alone, Paramatma, Maya Sahitam Brahma, from that Bhagavan who is endowed with the power of Maya, Sapta Pranaha Prabhavanti. All these seven instruments of perception originate, means five. Sapta Archishaha. Archish means fire. Archish means ray of light. Archish means light. So Sapta Archishaha, seven flames of fire, or you can say seven fires in terms of seven sense powers also have come into existence from that Bhagavan. Samidha. Samidha means what? Oblation. Samidha. Samidha. Sapta Archishaha. Seven fires. Seven fires which serve as seven lights. Then Samidaha. Samidaha means oblations. Samidaha implies, the word Samidaha implies all sense objects, the respective objects perceived through respective sense organs. Samidaha, which are like the oblations. Thereby, what happens? Sapta Homaha. There happen seven rituals. This seeing power illumining its respective forms in light is what? One Homa. Hearing power coming in contact with its respective sound and contributing with the knowledge is what? Another Homa. So perception of sense powers of the respective sense objects is what? A Homaha, a fire ritual. There are Sapta Homaha, the seven rituals. Okay, therefore, Ime Lokaha, Sapta Lokaha, Yeshu Charanti Pranaha. So what here Bhagavan says, the Upanishad says, now you understand Samidaha. Samidaha means oblations. So whatever we see become what? Samid means fuel. Fuel means what? Food. Food offered. The sense object is like the food, Samid, the fuel offered to the fire in the sense, the fire of sense power obtaining in the Agnikundam called as Golakam. So Samidaha, all sense objects are Samidaha, oblations. The fuel. The food offered to the sense powers. So sapta archishaha, so sapta homaha. So what happened now? Seven rituals, seven types of rituals are happening. Please understand the beauty of the, there are so many things which are very, very beautiful about the Vedashastram. And one of the beautiful things that Vedashastram teaches us is the whole life is filled with rituals. Our whole of our life is nothing but many, many rituals. Okay? Many rituals alone constitute our life. Life itself is a ritual, yajna. Life itself is yajna. So the jnana indriyani, otherwise known as bhoga indriyani, the sense powers must be where? In their respective golakams. When? Only in the waking state. Please listen, a very important lesson I'm telling you. Only during the waking state, the sense powers are in their respective golakani. Sense power is, see, the seeing power is in the eyes only during the waking state. Hearing power is in the ears only during the waking state. The power of taste, power of touch, all these sense powers are in the respective physical parts only in the waking state. What happens to them in the deep sleep state? Okay, when we fall asleep, when we are fast asleep, all our sense powers, okay, the sapta, all these pancha jnana indriyani, bhoga indriyani, all of them are withdrawn, taken away from the respective golakams. So Swamiji used to say, all the golakams are like the office rooms, okay, the offices, and all sense powers are like officers, okay, who come to the office, work, they do their functions, okay, the seeing function, hearing function, they do. And when the night comes, not the night comes, when you fall asleep, you keep awake at night also, that's a different problem. So what I'm saying, when you fall asleep, when you're awake in the waking state, they're all in the offices. In the deep sleep state, they go back home, means they become withdrawn. They become withdrawn. And when withdrawn means, where do they go? All the sense organs remain in their golakams, okay, during the waking state. But in deep sleep state, so jagradavasthayam sarvani indriyani golakeshu tishtanti. Sushupti avasthayam, nidra avasthayam, sarvani indriyani, okay, gachanti, kutra, where do they go? All the sense organs become withdrawn. How? Through the nadis. Don't ask me where the nadis are and all, okay? They are withdrawn through the nadis. And where do they go? They all resolve. They remain resolved in their own home. Home means what? There must be a place where they must remain withdrawn, resolved. You all can make out mind. You all remain resolved. Now, the mind also must have its golakam. Where is the mind? Okay. The mind in the waking state, mind is in the brain. In the waking state, mind comes to the brain. So just as all other physical parts are the golakams, office rooms for sense organs, but the mind office room is like, the brain is like the office room of the mind. The mind also goes back from the brain. Where does it go? Okay. In deep sleep state, mind along with the sense organs together resolve. And where does the mind go and resolve? We say the heart is the golakam. We say mind is the golakam for the, sorry, brain is the golakam for the mind. Okay, but they all dissolve where the home is what? The heart only. The mind also functions only during the waking state. When the mind becomes non-functional, we call it a deep sleep state. Therefore, all these golakani, including the brain, the respective powers are there in the waking state. Look at the mind as an indriyam also. Mind is a power, subtle power, functioning in the golakam called brain. And in the waking state, the mind is functional. But when the mind is functional, it's a waking state. So when the mind is functioning, so the mind is connected to the whole body. The entire body is connected to the mind. Even it is non-functional, the mind is connected. But still, the operation of the mind is only during the waking state. Now, when all of them are withdrawn, they all remain in their own home. What is the home? Guha. Is a guhaha. Guhaha, please understand, heart, hridayam. So, ultimately, the heart is the home of the mind. Heart is the home of the mind. What it is said here, look at this. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat saptarchishaha samidaha sapta homaha sapta ime loka eshu charanti. Now, pranaha guhashayaha nihitaha sapta sapta. Pranaha guhashayaha means what? Nihitaha. Guhashayaha means they all resolve in their home, guha. Guhashayaha means what? No, the way to understand, guha means heart. And guhayam shete, they all remain, therefore guhashayaha. Guhayam shete iti guhashayaha. They all remain, they all sleep. Guhayam shete, they all sleep in their residence, in their own home. The deep sleep state, they all remain resolved. They all withdrawn and remain resolved. That is why in deep sleep state, the Golakam's office rooms are empty. Please understand. In deep sleep state, what happens? All the office rooms are vacant, empty. Because the officers are not, they have gone home. Therefore, no function is happening. No hearing, no smelling, no tasting, no seeing. No hearing, no listening, no taste, no function happens. Because office rooms are closed. The officers have gone to their houses. Okay, their homes. That is why no function, there's no such a thing called function or perception does not happen in deep sleep state because all of them are resolved. Well, because mind itself is resolved. The mind which backs up the sense powers is resolved, withdrawn. Therefore, along with the mind, all sense powers become withdrawn and all of them together sleep in the heart. Guhayam shete iti guhashayaha. They remain resolved in their home of the heart, home called heart. Means the mind itself resolves. Guhashayaha. There's no perception takes place. So in deep sleep state, there's no yajnaha. The ritual of perception does not happen in deep sleep state. Therefore, Upanishad, what does the Upanishad say? Guhashayaha pranaha. These sense organs, all these sense organs, for which heart is the guha, okay, there is their home, there I can say, Ashayaha also means home. Please understand, Ashayaha. Okay, Ashayaha also means an abode, residence, home. Guhashayaha means what? So, Hridayam Ashayaha Yesham. Yesham Indriyanam Hridayam Ashayaha. Guha Ashayaha. Te Guhashayaha. Those sense, all those subtle powers, include five subtle sense powers and one mind, is which six powers, all of them which become withdrawn, they remain, okay, they remain in their own home. Guhayam, guha ashayaha yesham, so guhashayaha. They have their heart as the residence, their home. I mean, they remain resolved there. And then nihitaha means what? Nihitaha means sapta sapta. Nihitaha means they are placed in their own respective, their own abode, all of them together. Now we can understand every individual human being or every individual living being, are we said to be jiva, is given all these, blessed with all sense organs. And it's important for you to know, if a person becomes blind or if he becomes deaf, the question must arise. We see some people who are blind and some people are deaf, etc. What happens to their sense powers? Please understand, sense powers are present. The blind person has the sense power. The deaf person has the sense power, power of hearing, power of seeing. All the powers are very much there in their respective golakams. They are not absent. Okay. But still, why they are not able to see? Sometimes the jiva, some people, they are not able to make use of their seeing power, hearing power. So they are not able to operate them because they become the blind and deaf, etc. Why? Because it is said, Shastram says, if any sense power, okay, any sense power becomes made, rendered non-functional, or if any sense organ is prevented from its being functional, or it's obstructed, the power capacity is obstructed, and it's purely because of one's prarabdha karma phalam. It's a karma, okay? Some bad karma. I don't know, good karma or bad karma. Anyway, some, it's a karma phalam. They all have, blind people have seeing powers, deaf people have hearing powers. Power is very much present. It's not absent. But they're not able to operate. The function is prevented and the capacity is obstructed because they have their own prarabdha karma. The karma. Which means, why we should remember, please understand, the mind along with the sense powers, all sukshma, all the entire subtle body is not at all destructible. Cannot be destroyed at all. No sense power can be destroyed. Even when we cremate the body, only golakams become cremated. The sense powers and the mind, they lead a physical body. Okay. Therefore, they are never destroyed. Mind along with the sense powers, along with the powers of organs of actions, lead a physical body. They do not get destroyed or burnt. Only golakams, the physical body, the golakams, the office rooms get burnt. Officers escape. Okay, they never get burnt, never get destroyed. This is very important lesson for us to remember. Therefore, so the next question comes, will the jiva continuously have the problem of it being blind and deaf, etc.? No. Suppose in some janmas, one janma, two janmas, in keeping with the karma, intensity of karma, the person will be a blind in one or two janmas or one janma. Then the karma changes, then because upon punyam, again the person may get his, in the next janma, the person need not be blind. Because the good karma comes, and the bad karma the person is finished exhausting, then again he may have proper vision, etc. in his next janma. So, the sense organs which are non-functional in one janma need not be non-functional in another janma also. It depends upon the punyam of the person, punya papam of the person. Because the parabdha will never be the same parabdha. Parabdha karma palam also will be constantly changing in keeping the punya papam one has in one's account. As the punyam papam goes and the punyam comes, again the person's sense organs will be functional. Therefore, the nihitaha means what? Bhagavan says, they're all kept there. So now what does this mantra say? Okay. Look at this. The end, the perception is a beautiful ritual. And now you must ask, who is the devata? Who is the devata to whom these oblations are offered? And the oblations in the form of sense objects offered into the fire of sense organs reach the devata called mind. And what is the benefit of performing this ritual? Jnanam is the phalam. Jnanam, jnana udayaha. Okay? Jnanodayaha. Knowledge of the respective objects is the yajna phalam. And the devata to whom the oblation is offered is the mind, which is also another indriyam. Okay? So the perception itself, it's a nice way of seeing the perception is a yajna. And who is the enjoyer of this palam, jnana palam? Jnata, pramata. Pramata becomes the bhokta. The pramata becomes the enjoyer of the benefit of jnanam. Jnanam is the benefit of performing this ritual. Devata to whom this oblation is offered is the mind. Is it clear now? Now, what are the Agnikundas? What are the objects? Ahutayaha. And what are the sense? What are the fires? And how the each and every perception of every object becomes what? Ritual. Now, all this has come from Bhagavan. Just to say, all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, all the golakani, all the physical parts, all the objects, enjoyment, knowledge, perception, everything is possible because of Bhagavan. Everything has come into existence from Bhagavan. Don't forget, we are still in the Srishti Prakriya. Okay? Srishti means we are still in the portion discussing, presenting the discussion on creation only. And but it is present in the form of an imagery. Is it clear? Okay. Now, let us move on to the next mantra. Nihitaha means placed. They're all placed. Again, what happens in the waking state? Again, mind becomes functional. They all come back to their offices. And again, functions are happening. That's why in the night you have to say what? I do not understand. I do not know anything. What is happening? No jnanam in the night. Okay, next mantra. Atas samudra girayascha sarve. Atas samudra girayascha sarve. Asmat syandante sindhava sarva rupaha. Atas samudra girayascha sarve. Atas samudra girayascha sarve. Asmat syandante sindhava sarva rupaha. Atas samudra girayascha sarve asmat syandante sindhava sarva rupaha atascha sarva oshadhayo rasascha yenaisha bhutaistishtate hyantaratma. Atas samudra girayascha sarve atas samudra girayascha sarve. I'm purposely repeating so that you get the mantras thoroughly, because I have noticed in my experience, my teaching, if people do not get the mantras correctly and they never understand, whatever they understand, they forget also. Because we notice this, because other swamis and swamijis, in their classes, of course, they don't have much time. So they read mantra once or twice and they expect us to read on our own afterwards. And they go, they unfold the mantra and go away. And what happens? People cannot connect the meanings with the mantras, because they're familiar with the mantras. So mantras are also important. See, please read them correctly. Atas samudra girayascha sarve asmat syandante sindhava sarva rupaha atascha sarva oshadhayo rasascha atascha sarva oshadhayo rasascha yenaisha bhutaistishtate hyantaratma yenaischa bhutaistishtate hyantaratma. Atas samudra girayascha sarve asmat syandante sindhava sarva rupaha atascha sarva oshadhayo rasascha yenaisha bhutaistishtate hyantaratma yenaischa bhutaistishtate hyantaratma. Let us not forget the discussion on creation still continues. Now, ataha means what? Ataha means, ataha means therefore. Do you remember this word, ataha? Ataha is an indeclinable word which means therefore. But here in this mantra, the word ataha means asmat. Asmat means what? From this Bhagavan. From which Bhagavan? The Bhagavan from that Bhagavan. Ataha means that from that Paramatma, from the Parambrahma, from the absolute reality endowed with the power of Maya, who is known as Ishvara Bhagavan, from that Bhagavan, ataha, okay, we can say originate, come into existence. What all come into existence? He says, samudraha, not one ocean. So all these things, which are all very much important for the survival of a human being, for survival of living beings. Look at this. We think we don't need mountains and rivers. That's not true. It's not enough. Just simply with money you can't survive. For our survival, for our well-being, for this world to become enjoyable world, we need all the natural phenomena. Therefore, from that Bhagavan alone, all the natural phenomena required for the well-being, wellness, survival of living creatures, all of them have come from Bhagavan. Ataha, from that Bhagavan, Paramatma, samudraha, okay, they're all necessary. They're all required things, essentially required things have come into existence for the betterment of the entirety of the beings. Samudraha, oceans. Samudraha, samudro, samudraha. You know that. Now, girayaha, girihi, giri, girayaha, mountains. Sarve girayaha, all oceans and all mountains. And then again, asmat. Asmat, it is from that Bhagavan alone, What now? Syandante. Syandate, syandete, syandante. Syandante is a verb, you all know. Okay. From that Bhagavan alone, Sindhavaha syandante. Sindhu means ocean. Sindhu also means river. Because already Bhagavan has, already the mantra has presented the word Samudraha. We should take the word Sindhu as rivers. Okay. Sindhavaha. Sindhu, Sindhu, Sindhavaha. Many rivers, Sarve Sindhavaha. The Sarvarupaha Sindhavaha. Okay, Sarvarupaha Sindhavaha. So the word Sindhu can mean any given river. But here in India we have one river known as Sindhu also. Okay, one river specifically known as Sindhu. But generally any river in any part of the world can be called Sindhu. Okay, Sindhu means a common name for any river. So Sarvarupaha Sindhavaha. Okay, Sarvarupaha means all forms of rivers, all forms of rivers, all types of rivers. Sarvarupaha Sindhavaha Syandante. They all flow. Okay, they all originate from Bhagavan only. They flow originating from Bhagavan only. Means what? They do not come into existence from anywhere else. Okay, now we have to say Atahacha Sarvaha Voshadhayaha. Sarvaha Voshadhayaha. Voshadhihi singular. Voshadhayaha herbs. The word herbs mean plants. Oshadhihi, plant, herb. Oshadhayaha, plants. Rasahacha, and not mere plants. The plants endowed with their respective nutrients. Rasaha means essence. The plants and the nutrients, the essence, rasahacha, all of them come into existence from ataha. From that Bhagavan. Ataha means from that Bhagavan. Ataha cha sarvaha oshadayaha. Why sarvaha? Oshadhi is a strilinga shabdaha. Then rasaha cha. And there, rasaha is a masculine gender word. Okay. Rasascha. Also there, nutrients, essence. Then it is only because of this, plants with their nutrients, yena, because of which alone, yeshaha, antaratma. The word yeshaha is a pronoun referring to antaratma. Only because of this, antaratma, this jiva, bhutaihi tishtate, bhutaihi tishtate. Bhutaihi tishtate means what? Antaratma. This jiva, the sukshma shariram, remains in this physical body. Bhutaihi means what? With this physical body, the elemental physical body. Suppose if that is the meaning. So what the Upanishad means here, there are innumerable, countless varieties of plants we have. And all of them contain abundant resources. Okay. All of them have abundance of nutritional contents. And we can say how all the minerals we need. Okay. All forms of magnesium, potassium, calcium, carbohydrate, protein, salt, fat. Okay. All of them abundantly they are contained in those plants. See, Upanishad says very well, any nutrient you want, there is the appropriate vegetable available. Okay. You don't need to go to any other food. So all rasascha, all nutritional contents all nutrients, all essence, all the plants, all of them have come into existence from Bhagavan, which means Bhagavan has brought them into existence. So that what? We do not need to serve. We do not need to starve. Okay. Bhagavan has brought us and Bhagavan has brought everything so that we have proper food here. We don't need to starve. Then, yena, we saw one more thing. Yena bhutaihi yena yeshaha. Yena yeshaha yena ishaha. I don't want to say sandhyana. You have to make a note. Yena yeshaha yena ishaha. Bhutaihi tishthate bhutais tishthate. Bhutaihi tishthate bhutais tishthate. Hi antaratma hyantaratma. Hi indeed. He means indeed. Sometimes the he is added to adjust the meter also. Okay. He indeed. Antaratma. Antaratma means what? This jiva with the sukshma shariram. This, okay? Antaratma here means the sukshma shariram. Okay. The sukshma shariram remains in his physical body because of this food alone. What it says, tishtate, we say, no? Tishtate means what remains. Remains. See, Shastram says, our Veda Shastram says, as long as Sukshma Shariram remains in the physical body is said to be alive body. The Sukshma Shariram leaves the physical body, then the body becomes dead. The body is sent for cremation only when the sukshma shariram leaves the physical body. And when does the sukshma shariram depart from the physical body? When the parabdha karma palam gets exhausted. That's a time. When the parabdha karma palam gets exhausted, then the sukshma leaves the physical body. And the sukshma shariram is in this physical body, then there's a live physical body. So survival of the physical body, survival of the individual, living, a living person. When do you say? Only when the sukshma shariram remains, tishthate, bhutaihi saha, means what? In this physical body, which is an elemental material product, then the subtle body, which is also elemental, but subtle body remains in this physical body only because of the function of the physiology, only because of physiological functions, and that is possible because of the food we take. That's why yena, only because of these plants and their nutrients which serve as food, the sukshma shariram, the pranas are functional, therefore the subtle body remains intact with the physical body. Thereby survival is possible. Therefore, here atma does not come, does not go. Atma is all pervasive consciousness. The subtle body is also subtle matter. That leaves, that remains. Subtle body also is indestructible. The physical body becomes disintegrated. Okay? The subtle body staying in the physical body is what? Being alive. Subtle body leaving the physical body is what? Is what? Being dead. Therefore, it is the food we eat contributes for the physiological functions which energize the system. Thereby, physical such a subtle body remains in this gross body. Okay. That's what it is. Yena. Because of the yena means what? Because of which alone. Because of which, I mean, because of the food we get in the form of plants and the nutrients alone. Antaratma bhutaihi tishtate. Sukshma antaratma here means the sukshma shariram. The sukshma shariram. See, antaratma sometimes actually means what? Atma. All pervasive consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence is antaratma. But please, Make a note, in this mantra, the word antaratma does not mean atma, it means the subtle body. Okay, sukshma shariram, which means mind and sense, all subtle powers. The mind, all subtle powers with the physiological functions together constitute sukshma shariram. That sukshma shariram, bhutaihi. Bhutaihi means what? Sthula shariraihi. Sukshma shariram, sthula sharirena saha tishtati. Tishtate means what? Okay, it remains together. Subtle body remains with, stays with the gross body only because of the food. But how, if we live properly, if we perform rituals, if we worship, if we pray, and we ask for jnanam, when the sukshma is in this physical body, it is possible for one to accumulate punyam or accumulate papam, and we can get a better janma, or we can go to heaven, we can go to swarga, we can go to the brahmaloka or swargaloka, we can go travel through anything. All depends upon how you can earn punyam. Otherwise, we can attain even the absolute moksha, even this very life itself. When, as long as the sukshma remains in this tholam. Okay. Now, next mantra. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Last mantra, just do it. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Tapo brahma paramrutam. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Tapo brahma paramrutam. Yetadyo vedanihitam guhayam. So vidya granthim vikiratiha somya. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Tapo brahma paramrutam. Etadyo veda. Nihitam guhayam, so vidya granthim vikiratiha somya. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma tapo brahma paramrutam. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma tapo brahma paramrutam. Etadyo veda nihitam guhayam. So vidya granthim vikiratiha somya is the most important mantra in this section. This is the most important mantra in this section. It presents a beautiful teaching. I think better we'll do it next class. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Do we still have time? I want to ask because the confusion of the time is.
We have another 10 minutes before Gita.
Okay. I don't want to. It is a very important mantra. We'll pick it up next week, but let me try to give some introduction at least. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Tapo brahma paramrutam. Purushaye vedam vishvam karma. Tapo brahma paramrutam. Yetadyo vedanihitam guhayam. So vidya granthim vikiratiha saumya. So vidya granthim vikiratiha saumya. So having discussed the topic of creation, continuing until now, so the Upanishad must be tired. How much to say? Upanishad cannot give the huge list of everything that has come from Bhagavan. So having given significantly, you know, prominent things of this world, now Upanishad wants to conclude in this chat section. What Upanishad says, Hey, Soumya, addresses the student, the teacher. The teacher addresses the student. Hey, Soumya, oh, pleasing one, oh, beloved student. It's a nice expression of endearment. Addressing him, the teacher says, no? Idam vishwam purusha eva. This first sentence is what? Purusha eva idam vishwam. Eva idam, what sandhi? Like, eva idam, evedam. Idam vishwam purushaha eva. Purushaha eva. Visarga is dropped, make a note. Idam vishwam purushaha eva. If you break and write it, idam vishwam purushaha eva. Means what? This entirety of the universe is Paramatma only. How? I'll explain later on, okay? The idam vishwam purushaha eva. The same sentence comes in Purusha Suktam. Purusha yevedagam sarvam. Purusha yevedagam sarvam. Yad bhotai yachabhoyam. The same word. You get idam sarvam purushaha yeva. Idam vishwam. This universe. The idam. Idam is a third person singular pronoun, which means this. So this pronoun indicates the universe. Idam vishwam, this universe, objective universe, inclusive of one's body, mind, sense complex, this entirety of the cosmos is nothing but Paramatma. Purushaha means what? Paramatma. Okay. Yeah, this is literal meaning I'm giving you today. So karma. Karma. What is karma? You can say karma means all actions. Let me give the literal meaning first. All actions. So this entirety of the cosmos, okay, consisting of all forms of activities, karma, tapas, all forms of austerity, all disciplines. Tapas means all forms of disciplines, all forms of austerities. Then, what now? All tapaha. We have to include what? All of these 14 lokas. Okay. Chaturdasha bhuvanani. It includes all 14 worlds. And Brahma, the word Brahma indicates, next is Brahma, Paramritam. So, the entirety of the universe consisting of 14 worlds, inclusive of all forms of disciplines, all forms of activities, everything is what? Paramritam Brahma. Everything is nothing but Brahma. See, already Upanishad says what? There is no universe. There is no universe. There is no creation. What is only Bhagavan. What is only Brahma. So the universe is another name for Bhagavan. Vishwam. Another name of the Lord. Where is Bhagavan? Who is Bhagavan? All that is here is only Bhagavan. There's nothing which is not Bhagavan here. Everything is Bhagavan here. Therefore, everything is Bhagavan. So, Bhagavan is Satyam. The universe is what? Mithya means what? It's only appearance of the Bhagavan. Mithya means don't think non-existent. Appearance of Bhagavan is Mithya. Bhagavan is Satyam. Which means that we don't need to say Mithya also. All that is here is only appearance of Bhagavan. The world is the form of Bhagavan. This is the first teaching we get from this lesson. Then, Brahma Paramritam. Para Amritam Brahma. What is Para? The exalted absolute. Amritam immortal. Para Amritam Brahma. This absolute reality, which is of the nature of infinitude, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Why? This reality implied by the term is beginningless, endless, timeless, time-wise limitless, and all-pervasive, spatially limitless. There's no form which is not filled with Bhagavan. There's no form which is not Bhagavan. Therefore, object-wise limitless. Therefore, time-wise, object-wise, spatially limitless reality is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. Therefore, that reality is implied by the word Brahman. Paramatma is this Brahman. Ishvara is this Brahman only. There's no Ishvara other than Brahman. And this is Apara Amritam, the absolute, exalted, immortal, everlasting reality. Paramritam, Brahman alone is the whole cosmos here. Okay. Now, second line. Yetad yaha veda. Yetad yaha veda. Yaha, whoever veda knows. Veda means janati. Yaha janati. Yaha veti. Yaha veda means yaha veti, yaha janati. Whoever knows yetad brahma. Okay. Whoever knows that only reality which is in the form of the whole universe. As what? Yetad. As the nearest self. As the nearest self. Whoever discovers, whoever knows that absolute reality, which is in the form of the whole universe, obtaining as the nearest self. Okay, where? Guhayam nihitam. Hidden in the cave of mind. See, the word guha, earlier I said heart. But here, guha means mind. Guhayam nihitam, hidden in the cave of mind. Whoever discovers that Brahman, paramrutam, para amrutam Brahma, that absolute, immortal, limitless reality Brahma, which alone is in the form of the whole universe, yaha veda, whoever discovers, okay, hidden in the cave of the mind, as the nearest self, as the content of I, guhayam nihitam, in the cave of mind, nihitam hidden, yaha veda, who knows, saha, that person, saha, avidya granthim, avidya granthi, purva rupa sandhihi, visarga sandhihi, yesterday only you learned, now test immediately comes. So vidya granthim saha avidya. Saha avidya. So visarga sandhi, then guna sandhi, then pururupa sandhi. Saha avidya granthim. Granthihi is a granthihi is a means knot. The knot of ignorance. Vikirati. He breaks open. He breaks the vikirati means he breaks the knot of ignorance. Iha in this world. He somya, O pleasing student, O pleasing one, O pleasant one, O dear student. Iha in this world, in this life itself, saha vikirati. That person breaks. He breaks what? He breaks the unbreakable knot of ignorance of the truth. And breaking the unbreakable knot of ignorance of the truth is what? Discovering the Paramatma. Where? In the cave of mind. As what? Obtaining as the nearest self. As the very truth, the content of I in the mind, as one's own self. Okay? Saha avidya granthim iha vikirati. He somya, idam vishvam purushaha yeva, karma tapaha sarvam, brahma, paramrutam brahma. Yetad yaha guhayam nihitam veda saha avidya granthim vikirati. He breaks the knot of ignorance. Okay. So here, the most important lesson that we have to understand from this, the whole of Srishti, okay? Finally, the Upanishad summarizes the whole teaching in one mantra, that is the last mantra. The world is nothing but, the world is constituted of innumerable countless forms, denoted by innumerable countless words. So, namarupani. So, all these world of forms and names, okay, are useful for us. Why? Because when we have to transact in this world, when we're interacting with this world, of course, all these forms, names are very, very useful. Which means we have to make use of all these forms, names and functions, the world of objects, only for the purpose of transaction in this world. And all these forms, names and functions are, because the substance is Bhagavan, all these forms, names and functions are time-bound in nature. They come and go. There's no permanent form. There's no permanent name, no permanent function. All these forms, names and functions are all time-bound in nature. They come and go. That is the very nature. Therefore, all the pairs of opposites also what? Our experiences also come and go. They're all impermanent. Therefore, we can use these time-bound, arriving, departing forms, names and functions only for the purpose of transacting in this world. But it is not appropriate, it is not prudent to be dependent on this arriving, departing, time-bound forms and names for our security and happiness. In fact, every human being, knowingly or unknowingly, is desperately searching, intensely, desperately, instinctively also, every human being is searching for happiness and security through artha kama dharmas, through the possessions and positions. Okay? Ultimately, what we are searching for is our own Swarupam, but through all these other ends. Which means we can seek, but the thing is, it is not prudent on our part to be dependent on this time-bound universe, arriving, departing world of objects for everlasting happiness and security. And there is an substratum, there is a truth which lends existence to this world. The changeless, unchanging reality which lends existence to this changing world. Okay? The changeless reality lends existence to the changing, constantly changing world. Therefore, the dependence must be taken, shifted from the changing time-bound world to the changeless, everlasting Bhagavan for our happiness and security. If we are able to discover this, how can we reach? If we discover Paramatma, the truth of all this, the unchanging reality of all these changing forms and names, if we discover, Shastram says, don't search, it's available very much in the cave of mind. Guhayam nihitam siddhantar, if a person discovers, and that becomes what? That is what is known as moksha, freedom. Therefore, one must prudently rely on the permanent, infinite, limitless reality for limitless, permanent happiness and security, not on this appearance of Bhagavan. Depend upon Bhagavan, dependent on Bhagavan, not upon the appearance of Bhagavan in the form of world. And if we are dependent on the appearance of Bhagavan in the form of world, then we are stuck in the endless samsara. If we become dependent on Bhagavan, the truth of the forms and names, the world, then we are liberated. We are free. And if whoever discovers such a person, Upanishad says, Saha avidya granthim vikirati. He breaks the knot of ignorance. He removes the knot of ignorance. And here, removing the knot of ignorance means what? Freeing oneself from the bondage of samsara. So this is, please understand, this is an important verse, which is the sutra mantraha, which is the sutra mantraha. And we go to vritti means elaboration. Sutra means aphoristic mantra. And the following, the whole of the second section, we are going to see next class, is going to be the commentary upon this one mantra. Okay. This one mantra will be commented upon by the mantras in the following section. There's a vritti bhagaha. The portion of elaboration is called vritti bhaga. And this is the sutra bhuta mantraha, which we'll see in the next class. Almost I have covered. Is it clear? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.